Welcome to Ham Radio and More, the program that specializes in amateur radio in the Valley and around the world. Whether you're already a ham or have always wanted to be one, you'll find out about interesting events and issues regarding amateur radio. Your host is Lynn Winkler, KB7LPW. To get in touch with Lynn, call 230-2755 or toll-free 1-800-293-KFNN. Ham Radio and More is brought to you by Wallpaper World and the Petrie Dealerships. Now, here's your host, Lynn Winkler.
CQ, 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 Arizona, and welcome to Ham Radio and More, the only show of its kind in America. I'm your host, Lynn Winkler, KB7LPW. Our phone number today is 230-2755, 230-2755, or 1-800-293-KFNN. And my guest today on this beautiful 4th of July, birth of our country, I was kind of interested in seeing. There were flags all over again today on all the lawns in my neighborhood. So somebody goes there. I think it was last time, Century 21 or something that did. I don't know who did it today. But anyway, and my guest today is Barney Fagan, KB7KOE. And of course, Barney is a fairly visible person in this community. Most people know or have at least heard him. Very involved with being a board member on the Arizona Repeater Association's board. He's also vice president of Scottsdale Amateur Radio Club, the head honcho guru of the Packet Users Group, chef extraordinaire,
Tower Fund.
Tower Fund Committee Chairman, Tower Fund Committee Chairman. And I'm sure there's some other things that as these next 2 hours go on that we'll find out about, Barney. Oh, decorated military veteran and many other things. Character, I've heard all kinds of words to describe him. But anyway, we're going to have a lot of fun today. Hopefully you and all the listeners will participate. Give us a call, say hello. And I've got a lot of stuff to pass on. Next week, before I forget, we're going to have Harry Daniels on. And, of course, Harry is the current 1993, I hope I can talk today, Ham of the Year. And he's also a past president of the ARRL. Very instrumental in no-code technician license. So if you didn't like it or if you do like it, you'll want to comment next week with him. And he's very, very knowledgeable and been around for a long, long time. So we'll have him on next week. And remember, the 25th of this month, we'll have a replay of Senator Goldwater interview. So that should be interesting. If you missed it the first time, you'll want to tape it this time. And if you heard it the first time, listen again. So we'll change the commercials so it'll be different. Okay. Anyway, welcome to Ham Radio and More, Barney.
Oh, thank you, Lynn. It's a pleasure to be here. I realize that I'm probably by default here because everybody else with something to do left town. And my plans were changed at the last minute because I'm getting ready to have a little medical work done, so I couldn't do any of the things like go up to Sunset Point that I'd planned to do.
Okay, well, we'll get to that. What that's happening right now, Sunset Point, right?
Yes, right at the moment.
And I want to explain what's going on because a lot of people aren't aware that the ARA gets involved with this.
Well, Sunset Point, of course, is the first major rest stop up the highway toward Flagstaff and sort of the last one as you come down the hill toward Phoenix. And the ARA traditionally, when allowed to, set up some trailers and get a lot of ice and cool drinks and iced tea, ice water, coffee, and just a nice chance for people who are coming down the hill or going up to stop, have a break, relax a few minutes, and take five, stay alive is their motto. And so they're trying to give people that little bit of rest to make it a little better for them coming up or down the hill. And several hundred have taken advantage of it since they've started. And I guess at the moment it's quite windy up there, and they're making more sun tea. I just talked to Howard and his wife a few moments ago.
So traffic is brisk up there, and some people give a few donations, helps the ARA.
Yeah, there's some donations. Of course, that's not why they're up there, but... a lot of people appreciate it and do chip in a little something. And, of course, that helps pay for the event itself. And if we're lucky, we make a few bucks to help do a repeater repair job or something as well.
It shows that, again, another example of ham radio operators helping the community, not just trying to take things. I remember when you and I went to see the mayor of Scottsdale, and we were sitting there, and he asked, you know, what we wanted, and we wanted to do some stuff. And he says, how much is it going to cost? And it wasn't going to cost anything. We wanted to do it free. And he said, I love people like you. I don't see them very often. Ham radio operators are great that you guys come here offering services and nobody to pay for them. He's not used to that.
Well, you know, ham radio operators are good people. I'm sure we have our share of the other kind, too. But by far and wide, they're really great people. They like to help the community, like to be involved. We help with all sorts of fundraising, the Parker Dam bike ride every year, and all sorts of walking things, bicycle races, motorcycle races, parades, all sorts of events through the valley. And, of course, there's no charge ever for anything we do. We do it because we want to do it, not because we have to.
Right. Actually, it's not legal for us to charge for it.
So. Well, I don't. We'd probably get into trouble trying to figure out who'd get the money, so it's better that we don't get
right.
it anyway.
Well, that's right. It's all volunteer, et cetera. We're going to spend some time today. Some people might get bored of this, but we're going to spend some time today talking about the local activities of amateur radio. I've gotten calls during this last week from some new hams who have been listening to the show and have wondered how they can get involved with what's going on, where are the clubs, what clubs are there. And it's amazing, you know, there are ham radio operators, new ones, every week receiving that precious ticket in the mail and waiting their 8 weeks or more to get that first license. You know, they spent all that time passing their test, learning to pass the test. They pass the test, and then they want to get on the radio, and they got to wait 8 weeks or so for the FCC to send them their license. Once they get it, some of them are afraid to key the mic. Some of them don't know what to do. Many of them hop right in and get involved, but then a lot of them need some support, and they need to find a club that they can join, and a lot of them just aren't aware of where the clubs are when they meet and stuff. So we'll go over some of that. We might as well talk about it right now. The Tower Fund. We'll get this in now. Tower Fund is, of course, something that we've talked about on this show on numerous occasions. And we'll just let you talk about it again. It started with zero, and what happened was that the tower on Mount Ord, the ARA tower on Mount Ord, basically fell and did some damage to another site there, and we need to replace it, and we need to replace it with something better. And something that will not fall, something that's professional, and it costs a lot of bucks to do that, close to $20,000, if I'm not mistaken. And again, since we don't charge for anything, it's hard to get some money to shell out $20,000 to build an antenna site. And so you have spearheaded an effort, and tell us the success of it.
Well, we started out really end of February. And our first effort was to take place at the Scottsdale Spring Fest, starting on 12 and 13 March. Well, we noticed a little problem on the 12th of March in the afternoon over at Scottsdale, going through the 9-2 repeater back into Phoenix. It was a little scratchy. But we had no idea that the top 40 feet of the tower had fallen the night before due to heavy ice accumulation.
It was still usable. After.
Well, it was amazing that it was still usable. The remnants of the antennas were all smashed and battered and jammed through the MCI building roof. That cost us about $1,000 just for damage there.
And we were lucky with that.
Oh, listen, if that thing had fallen any way but the way it did, it could have been hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not millions of dollars, in damage due to user loss of ability on MCI or some of the other antennas we could have hit.
What about if it would have happened a couple weeks earlier? Two people were climbing it.
Oh, just a few weeks before, yeah. Dennis Mills and one other fellow were on top of that tower working. We have a photograph of that. And after the tower fell, we knew the tower was going to have some problems, and that's why we started the fund drive. But we didn't realize the area that where the problem really was. We thought a flange weld was the problem, but really it was held up at a flange by four bolts. One of the bolts, it appears, had been broken for some time, rusted through. Another one had less than an eighth of an inch of metal holding it, and I'm not sure about the other two, but God's blessing was just with those two guys up there, and we just want to make sure that whatever we put up in the future never even represents any peril to anyone who goes up it. Of course, the tower that has to go up on Mount Ord now has to be erected commercially because we couldn't even afford the insurance, the possible liability to damage these other companies' towers, because that thing looks like a porcupine of antennas up there. So that's one of the reasons it's expensive. Plus, we're going to put up a 100-foot self-supporting galvanized tower, and just the new coax alone, when you get into solid coax, the heavy wire stuff, you're looking at $8 to $10 a foot on it installed. That includes fittings, and we also have to put a new ladder up the side of the the mast, which is a coax ladder, not a ladder to climb up and down, but one that will support the coax, because ice buildup is tremendous up there. Another thing we found, and I don't know how this happened, and I'm sure no one else did, but when the building was originally built, the roof was put on upside down. Now, you wonder how you can put a roof on upside down. Well, what it amounts to is the steel plating, which should be on the outside upper part of the roof, is on the bottom inside, and we only have sort of an asphalt-type covering on top. Huh. And we've been having, every year, a lot of ice damage falling into that thing. So we're going to have to put another roof on top of it, which is part of this $20,000 we hope will cover it. But already we've got the signal improved. I was up there at a work party a couple of weeks ago, and we raised the antenna up about 20 feet to connect with the 2-4 repeater.
So what's it up? What's it up to now, about 40 feet or so?
No, it's up to about 30 feet. It was only the antenna was only on the corner of the building before, after our catastrophe, so it was a corner reflector. And we noticed that the trees had grown up since then, and we were shooting right into the trees. Plus, I guess in all this falling and so forth, we were still off about 10 or 12 degrees on line of sight. So that's all been corrected, and we do have a better connection than we had, but certainly not as good as it was before it fell.
And nowhere near what it will be when the 100-footer is put up.
That's right, because we're not only going to replace the tower, but we're going to try to upgrade the radios with a little more power. The new antenna is going to be dead on top of the 100-foot tower, the receive antenna, and the transmit antennas will be about halfway up. So that means a man with a handy talkie and half a watt of power almost anywhere on the rim or anywhere on a high spot in Arizona will be able to get in and make a call into Phoenix if they need to.
Okay, and so basically you start asking for some donations, because that's the only way. If the ARA doesn't have that kind of money sitting in their bank account that they can just shell out for it. So, and the only thing that the ARA makes money on really is, and they don't really make money on it, is to pay their expenses, is the membership dues.
That's right. Our dues are $15 a year, and unfortunately it costs about half of that to send out the Squelch Tail book and the directory every year. So that leaves us about $6,000, because we have roughly 10,000 members. About 6,000.
1,000 members.
I mean 1,000 members, beg your pardon. That leaves us about $6,000 or $8,000 at the long end to maintain the 20-odd sites we have, and that's fairly expensive to keep done. So we weren't really going in the hole. We just didn't have the ability to do anything beyond our normal maintenance. So my plan was that if we could get each member to donate $20, that would be $20,000. Now, realizing that all members didn't have $20, and certainly no one should feel guilty if they can't come up with it, there are those who could do better and do more. So we came up with a prize, which is an ICOM 3230H dual-band cross-bandable mobile with the DTMF tone card and voice synthesizer card. That little sucker will even tell you in Japanese at two speeds what frequency is in, besides English, for those of you who speak Japanese. But that one, we've decided that for those who do a little more, if you donated $25, we'd give you one chance or a ticket to draw. And if you gave $100, we'd give you five chances. If you gave $500, we'd give you 30 chances. And we've even got one of those. In fact, we had a $500 donation. If the individual does not want to be identified, and had all the tickets made out to the Carl Hayden High School Ham Radio Club. Now, that's a pretty decent guy.
I would say very decent. And he doesn't want to be exposed.
No, he said, you know, maybe they'll win. I hope they do. He said, I don't need another radio, and this might help them. So that's the kind of people we deal with. And as of Friday, we had $8,049, which is getting pretty close to half. Now, if you figure this in working days since we really got kicked off, that average is about $100 a working day if you knock out the weekend. So that's pretty good, and we only have about 20% of our membership so far that's responded. And we have a lot of non-members, particularly up along the rim. In fact, I got two letters this week, one from Dubuque, Iowa, and one from Livingston, Texas, from snowbirds who come in and out. They both sent money. One of them said, I never could hit that darn repeater because I don't have a tone pad, but I want to help anyway. The other fellow was in the hospital when he got his last squelch tail, recovering from heart surgery, when he sent his check. So we've got some great people. We've also had several wives whose husbands had deceased become silent keys who said, well, I know my old Jim would have sent money if he were here, so they sent his name. So we've had some great, great support. And all the nice letters I've received have made my job just a pleasure.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, you're mentioning all these people who are not members who have paid, and this is certainly not to indict those members who have not contributed anything. However, some of them don't realize how lucky they are to have the ARA for only $15 a year dues. Back in Chicago, there's $30 dues for one or two repeater organizations. Here, the ARA charges $15. It's only a dollar per repeater per year per member. I mean, that's crazy. A dollar. I mean, $15 for 13 repeaters, is it? I mean, that's like a stealing price. So, you know, number one, I'm not going to say they should raise their dues necessarily, but I would say that they're getting away really reasonable at $15 a year, and that if they could put out a few dollars to contribute to this tower fund, it would certainly be appreciated. And I'm sure you wouldn't want to give us the address. You might want to give us an address or phone number that if somebody out there wants to send a dollar, $5, or $105, that they could do so.
Yeah, I sure would. And, you know, for the little guy that we had a high school student the other day that he donated a dollar. Well, that may not seem like much, but it was all he had. So he gave us a good one. Anyway, I gave him a ticket on a power supply. We have an Amtron 35M power supply that tickets are $1 a piece or $6 for $5 in addition to the other thing. And good hams never miss up a raffle anyway. They never miss one. So anyway, these things are going to be available at Tut Hill, both of them, as well as at the fair. In fact, we're going to have our drawing for these two items at the fair. Family Amateur Radio Event, 19 September at Scottsdale.
Oh, we'll get to that, too.
But anyway, the address for the Tower Fund is the Friends of Mount Ord Repeaters, care of Barney Fagan, BarneyFagan, KB7KOE, that's King Barney 7, King of Everything, 8427 North 17th Place, 17th Place, Phoenix, Arizona, 85020. And if you have trouble writing that down, maybe you can get this phone number down. And if I'm not there, my answer machine or my wife will be. And that's 861-2817. Or if you just have an address around for the ARA and don't know what else to do, well, you can just send it in there to friends. Make your checks out to the ARA Tower Fund, however. Don't make them out to Barney because they don't trust me that much.
Oh, but the ARA should be a 501c sometime this year, and so these checks will actually become tax deductible.
Yeah,
possibly.
Like, you know,
possibly.
Of course, being a member of the Scottsdale Board, and Scottsdale is a 501c organization, when this thing came up, I asked if the ARA was, and they all looked at me kind of funny, like, gee, we never thought of it, because they didn't have anything donated to them and didn't see any reason before. But we have since gone in with the paperwork and applied, and according to the accountant who's looking at it, he sees absolutely no reason why it won't be approved. And when it does become approved, which should be very soon, it'll be retroactive to 1 January, so anything donated this year will be deductible.
I've noticed on the list of people who have contributed at some organizations like ARCA and Ahwatukee Amateur Radio Club and the Cactus Keys.
Yes, they certainly have.
And, you know, we've been talking about things like that, about the Cactus Keys. Last week we spoke a while and about the ironing board net that they have. And, in fact, I got a call during the week about the ironing board net. So hopefully Dottie will get on that, and I think that's a good name for a net. Okay, we have a couple minutes before we take our break. I don't really want to start into a heavy discussion. We were going to talk about Field Day because I heard there were a few people who attended that, and we'll talk about that next. But before I forget, a lot of people out there might be thinking that they want to become a ham radio operator, and they don't know how to become a ham radio operator. They don't know how easy it is, etc. Well, if you are the type that can't do it on your own and you want to do it by taking a class, the Scottsdale Amateur Radio Club sponsors a class at the Scottsdale Community College. And I believe you even get some college credit on this class. I'm not sure how many.
I think it's an hour and a half credit or 3 hours
it's
credit.
Something. I'm not sure what it is.
Depends on which all the classes you take.
Okay. But I know it's a legitimate class, you know, at Scottsdale Community College. And I believe it's $55 to take this class. But for that $55, number one, you're going to get included in that the cost of taking the test, which is $5.60. You're going to get a free tape, code tape. You're going to get a free FCC rule book. You're going to get a Now You're Talking book, the new one, because as of 3 days ago, the test changed.
Yeah, that book's worth about $25, I think.
It's 19 or something, no, maybe 20. Yeah, I think it's 1995 or something, but right around that. Plus worth $15 is a free 1 year membership in the Scottsdale Amateur Radio Club. In addition to, of course, getting taught the class. So for $55, it's a steal. And it's going to be Tuesday and Thursday nights, starting September the 14th, goes to November the 4th, and it's from 7:15 to 9:15 p.m. And if you want more information, you can give Chris Townsend a call. His call sign is NU7V, Chris Townsend. And the phone number for Chris is 949-0086, 949-0086 if you want more information from Chris. Or you can certainly just call Scottsdale Community College and do it that way. A couple other things. This coming Wednesday night, first I should be honest and say this coming Monday night. Oh, no, wait a minute. It's not going to be done this Monday night, is it? Wait a minute. Yes, they are. The West Valley Amateur Radio Club will meet tomorrow night, even though it's July 5th, the day after July 4th holiday, although a lot of people celebrate tomorrow. The West Valley Club will meet and have their monthly meeting. It starts at 7:15. Doors open at 6:45. At the St. Clement Social Hall, 15800 Del Webb Boulevard in Sun City, Bert Davidson, W2GOB, will discuss history and technology of phone patching on the HF bands. In addition, Stan Edgerton, K8RAL, will devote part of the evening to a check of the deviation and frequency accuracy of your FM rigs. Come early. Get to know your colleagues. Anyone with an interest in ham radio is certainly welcome. And you can join the West Valley Amateur Radio Club for just $5, which would cover you now through the end of the year. So, anyway, that's tomorrow night. If you're interested, go to the West Valley Amateur Radio Club. Then I heard Wednesday, there's another club meeting, and that's the Scottsdale Amateur Radio Club meeting. And that, of course, takes place at the Scottsdale Senior Center. And that starts at 7 o'clock also. And we certainly encourage everyone to attend. And what is the program? It's going to be How to Get Into DXing?
No, it's called Getting Started in DX. It's a superb ARRL, or 73 magazine, I believe, I beg your pardon, videotape that's really well put together, and I think you'll find it supremely interesting.
Okay, so that sounds good. If you want to get involved, even if you don't want to get involved with DX, come to the meeting anyway, because we have about 80 people or 90 people who show up, and it's a lot of camaraderie. We give all our visitors a little a little free ticket so that they can win one of our raffle prizes. And we give good prizes now. My God. We're giving away a dual band antenna.
Mag mount.
An FCC rule book with a repeater directory.
No, we don't have the rule book. That was last time. This time we have an antenna compendium.
Oh, okay.
With the repeater directory. Repeater directory. We have two like that, and then we have a book on DF fox hunting. You know?
Oh, DF fox hunting. I heard about tea hunting. Nice to bring that up. There is a tea hunt this coming Saturday, which I'm hoping somebody out there who knows if it's an East or West Side location start will call in and tell me, because I didn't get a chance to go to the tea hunt last month, and I don't know if it's East or West Side start. So if somebody knows, and give me a call at 230-2755, 230-2755, I'd appreciate it. Okay, again, that's this Wednesday, the Scottsdale Amateur Radio Club meeting at the Scottsdale Senior Center, 7375 East 2nd Street. We'll talk about the Central Arizona DX Association's meeting when we come back after we take this break. You're listening to Ham Radio and More on KFNN. I'm Len Winkler along with Barney Fagan, KB7KOE. Our phone number, 230-2755, 230-2755. Give us a call and ask us a question. We probably can't answer it, but ask us a question anyway. Hold on. We'll be right back after this announcement.
When a major earthquake hit San Francisco in 1989, amateur radio operators were there to relay information when phone service was interrupted. A year ago, when hurricanes ravaged Florida and Louisiana, ham operators were there to aid in disaster relief efforts. And during the Gulf War, amateur radio volunteers worked as Mars operators, relaying messages from service people in the Gulf to loved ones back home. Time after time, amateur radio enthusiasts have given, volunteering their services during times of need. The Valley Petri dealerships recognize the fact that hams are special people. That's why licensed hams receive special fleet pricing on new Buicks, Isuzus, Chryslers, Plymouths, Jeeps, and Eagles. You can save real money on a new car, truck, minivan, or 4x4. For more information on this money-saving program, contact the fleet manager at any of the Valley Petri dealerships. For fleet prices on new Jeeps or Chryslers, contact Bob Zavattiri at Petri Jeep on Bell Road, 493-8000.
Hi, I'm Grant Woods. Join me for consumer tips from the Attorney General's Office, weekly on AM 1510, Financial News Radio, KFNN.
The Arizona State University PC Training Program, in conjunction with the ASU Center for Lifelong Learning in Sun City, is presenting computer classes for adults 45 and up. There are introductory classes for beginners, more advanced courses for those already up to speed. All conveniently held at the ASU Center for Lifelong Learning in Sun City. For the latest class schedule, call the ASU PC Training Program at 965-9200. Experience hands-on sessions in popular software packages, including WordPerfect and Lotus 1-2-3. Get what you need to know in brief, interesting, two-hour sessions. Let's face it, computers aren't just for the grandkids. Show them you're ready for the future with the latest computer skills and information. Remember, these classes are conveniently located at the ASU Center for Lifelong Learning in Sun City. And classes run all year long, even through the summer. For more information or for a class schedule, call the ASU PC Training Program at 965-9200, 965-9200.
You're listening to Ham Radio and More on KFNN. If you'd like to join in the conversation, call 230-275 Radio and More on KFNN. If you'd like to join in the conversation, call 230-2755. That's 230-2755. Or outside the local dialing area, call 1-800-293-KFNN. Now, with more about amateur radio, here's your host, Len Winkler.
And we're back. Len Winkler, KB7KOE here, along with Barney Fagan today, my guest, KB7KOE. And our phone number, 230-2755, 230-2755. And I know it's July 4th. A lot of people are out celebrating. They're going to picnics. They're probably on their boats in Lake Pleasant, Saguaro Lake, all over the place. So, you know, I understand that there isn't a lot of phone calls today. But if you do want to get involved, give us a call. We won't feel lonely. In fact, I might even have a free subscription to 73 Magazine if you call in. I have this question to ask. So if you call in and want to say hello or something, you want a free subscription.
Well, mine's about to run out.
In order to entice these closet listeners, you know, it's like there was this guy who called me during the week at my home and says, you know, I listen every week. I never call in, but I wanted to ask you a question. I said, well, you can call on the show. I'd rather just ask you now. I said, okay. So he asked. So I said, you're another one of those of my closet listeners. You all listen, but you just don't call in unless I hit the hot button. So unless someone says, like Barney, you know, unless you say no coders, you know, belong on CB or they should get rid of CW or something provocative like that, you know. The phones don't light up. You know, no one wants to just call and say hi, you know. I mean, no one wants to treat this like like the 14694 repeater, you know. They just want to listen and be entertained. And by me, you know, they're never going to be entertained by me. Anyway, I want to remind people that Thursday, the Central Arizona DX Association is having their they're going to have their monthly meeting at the Para Club, which is, of course, in Tempe at 1 Continental Drive, and that starts at 7 o'clock. They always have a great de-expedition or a DX movie, video. I'll tell you, it's really interesting and exciting to watch their de-expedition films. Sincerely, and I'm no kidding. If I had a child, as I do, who is not a ham, but who I wanted to get involved, I would bring he or she to the DX club meeting of all the meetings, to that one, because it teaches you geography, it teaches you culture, it shows you what different parts of the world look like. It is just really an interesting and learning experience. So I really encourage people to go to the CADXA meeting, the Central Arizona DX Association meeting. Okay, let's see. Uh-oh. We got a few callers, a few brave callers online. Uh-oh. And I know this one, he's going to yell at me. Chuck, welcome to Ham Radio and More, and happy 4th of July.
Same to you. And if this isn't a pair to draw to, you and Barney.
Oh, well, you couldn't do much better than that, Chuck.
Okay, you're talking to the guy that's going to hide the transmitter for the tea hunt.
This coming Saturday. Oh, where are you going to hide it? I can get the scoop here. Nobody's listening. Shh, say it softly. No one will hear.
No, it is a West Side Start.
Okay, West Side Start. Okay, West Side Start, for those of you who don't know, means 7th
hunt.
This coming Saturday. Oh, where are you going to hide it? I can get the scoop here. Nobody's listening. Shh, say it softly. No one will hear. Okay, West Side Start, for those of you who don't know, means 7th Avenue and Camelback, which is the northwest corner of 7th and Camelback in the Target Shopping Plaza, and usually right at the 7th Avenue side is where all the antennas are. It starts at 7 p.m. sharp, and I recommend you get there between 6:30 and 6:45. So you're hiding it, huh, Chuck?
Yes, sir. Bob and I, we already scouted out a spot.
Uh-huh.
And I'll tell you, it's a good one.
Do we need hiking boots?
Well, you probably need an airplane to find it.
Oh, no! Do I need to wear a bathing suit?
I'm not going to tell you. You got to do like everybody else does that don't know.
Okay, Chuck, I appreciate you calling and telling us that. Can I change the subject on you?
Sure.
Okay. You're the representative of the Superstition Amateur Radio Club for FAIR, the Family Amateur Radio event, which takes place in September.
Roger.
And you were just out to Rawhide about 2 weeks ago or a week and a half ago.
Yeah, about a week and a half.
How do the facilities look?
Great. Looks great. We got a few little items that we're going to recommend that we do there, but that's a great place, I'll tell you.
Okay, well, we're going to have that meeting the 13th, not this Tuesday, but a week from Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's starting to gel. Of course, it's not that far away.
That's right.
You know, I get nervous every night now. I start thinking, wait a minute, when we started this project, we started a year and a half ago, and it was so far away we didn't have to worry. Now I look and it's July the 4th. I mean, we're talking about 2.5 months.
That's right. I'm getting kind of antsy also.
And then you've got another, of course, I don't know how involved you are, but you've got another event which we're going to talk about a little later in today's show also, and that's the Superstition Club Ham Fest in December.
Right.
So, okay, well, I know you were out there, and I'm going to Rawhide this evening. A little more plug for Rawhide, but I am going there to see the fireworks this evening. They've got one of the best firework displays in the city, and very inexpensive, and it's a lot of fun there with the shooting and everything, the clowns and stuff. So we're going to go over there tonight. But yeah, it's going to be a great facility. You see all the parking for the swap meet and for all the kids and all the different seminars.
Great.
Okay.
I saw, you know, it was pretty warm when we were there, so it was kind of, you know, we didn't want to stay out there too long. It is a great site, and I think it's probably one of the best places we could ever have found.
Okay, well, I'm happy to hear that. Did you have a question, Chuck? Do you have a 73 magazine subscription?
Sure.
Oh, you do have one.
Yeah, I'm ready to renew it though.
Oh, so another...
No, I think I did renew it already.
Oh, does that mean that if I had a question, you'd want to win one?
Well, why not? I'm sure.
Maybe he can win a renewal for me.
Oh, hell, I don't even know you. What'd you say your name was?
Okay, let's see if I can come up with something really tricky here.
Yeah.
Real hard for you.
I'm kind of a senile old man, you know, so don't make it too tough.
Okay, all right, let's see. Can you name me the two repeater frequencies that the ARA has at Scottsdale Air Park?
No, I can't.
Ooh, I got those. I don't have to give away the 73 subscription.
Well, somebody else needs it worse than me, maybe.
Well, I'm looking forward to the transmitter hunt this Saturday night, 7 o'clock, 7th Avenue in Camelback at 7 p.m. And I know you and your hiding is always a little too tough for us, but we're going to win this time.
That's great. Well, you know, you told me that you always let the first-time ones out to win it. And, of course, I've missed a couple of times. So, and then Bob and I went out there and drove almost to it.
Well, I heard that...
a straight shot.
Yeah, well, see, if you recall, last month, I wasn't able to attend it.
Well,
and so, since John did not have his navigator... I heard he came in 7th.
Oh, I don't know what he came in, but we're going to have a seat sheet to sign when you get there, so
okay.
you'll be in order that way.
Thanks a lot for calling in, Chuck, and making the show a little more enjoyable.
Roger.
Okay.
I've been listening. I don't always get a chance to listen, but I do when I can.
Okay.
So, have a happy 4th.
Thank you very much. Did you want to say something, Barry?
Yeah, I just wanted you to tell the people out there Superstition, Chuck. Thanks a lot for the contributions they made to the Tower Fund. I understand one of my letters was reproduced in your club paper, and it has resulted in some donations, and I really appreciate it. So if you'd pass it on to the membership, I would appreciate it.
Roger. Fair is also going to be put into the next newsletter also.
Oh, it's supposed to be hopefully put in also the ADAW and of course it's already been in Squelch Tail. So the more publicity, the better. It's going to be a great event.
Great.
And okay. Thank you, Chuck.
Thank
okay.
you.
Bye-bye. That was very nice. I know he's putting his all into the Superstition Club, getting involved with Fair, and he's been helping out a lot. And yes, he's won at the tea hunt, and I remember that first time. Then he hit it, and God, that was a great hiding place where he hit it the next month. And that was a time when John Moore couldn't go, and his daughter went. His daughter, my daughter, and I went, and I used my car. And we had it through a little piece of wood that's on my Astra roof and everything. We kind of did it, and we went right to it. It was really kind of neat. So he had a good hiding place.
I'd go there this time and look. He may put it there again.
He's not. Lightning doesn't strike in the same place twice. So I don't think so. Okay, let's see. Mark, KB7UKB, welcome to Ham Radio and More.
Hi.
How you doing?
Pretty good.
That's a fairly new call sign.
Yeah, it is about a month and a half.
Aha, congratulations.
Thank you.
What can we do for you today?
Oh, you guys, it sounded pretty desolate on the air.
Oh.
I figured I'd just call in and say hi.
Desolate?
Desolate, well.
Does that mean far away, or?
Well, no, just desolate, nobody listening.
Oh, I know they're listening, they're just not calling, you know.
Oh, well.
I all my closet listeners. Okay, so you're a ham for like a month and a half.
Yes.
What prompted you, what age bracket are you in?
Well, between 1 and 100.
No, come on. Come on.
I'll be 21 next month.
Okay. What prompted you to become an amateur radio operator?
A lot of things. A lot of people just kind of, you know, nudged me to get into it. And I took Lorraine McCarthy's class out at Scottsdale in March.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw one of her little flyer things and thought, oh, what the heck. So I did it, and it wasn't that hard.
Did you like her class?
Yes, I did. It was very informative, and a lot of extra stuff, too. You know, a lot of radio procedures and stuff that you wouldn't normally get just by taking the test.
Uh-huh.
So that was very informative, too.
Well, she is good. She's good at what she does. I believe she's raised her prices, if I'm not mistaken, to $115. I'll have to check that out. But even so, it's still probably worth it.
Yeah.
Especially if you don't have a lot of time to study and you'd like some help on it. And
yeah,
she,
very true.
You know, rather than just memorizing the questions and answers. What, Barney?
She's going to be at Tuthill
also. Oh, yeah, we're going to discuss Fort Tuthill also, the Ham Fest coming up, which is only a couple of weeks from now. Okay, so you've been a ham now for a month and a half. You've learned it. What are you doing mostly? Have you got an HT? Are you on packet?
No, I have a mobile station that I have set up in my house, and it's kind of mobile between my truck and my house now, but I do a lot of listening and you know, helping people out. I called DPS yesterday once.
Good.
For the guys up at Sunset Point, but a lot of listening and just, you know, rag-chewing.
Sounds good. Have you joined any or got involved with any of the local clubs?
Yeah, I'm now an ARA member.
Excellent. Congratulations.
Well, thank you.
And that's the one that no matter what, everyone on 2 meters should certainly get involved with.
Yeah, I agree. Lots of 2 meter people out there.
Yes, the ARA, when I first started going to the meetings, they'd have about 25, 30 people show up. It would have in that little room, there were seats available now with almost 1,100 members. In fact, they went over 1,100 last year, and they'll probably do it again this year.
Yeah, we're over 1,000 now on the renewal, so we're doing good.
Well, they'll, you know, I figure they get a lot of people now show up. And all new faces every time. There's all kinds of new hams, which is great. It's what's making this hobby as much fun as it is.
Yeah, but we missed you at the last meeting.
I tell you where I was. I make no bones about it.
Tell the truth now.
Now, this is the truth. My son is on a Little League team, and I'm the manager, the coach of it. And they won the night before on Wednesday night, the playoff game,
and Thursday was the was the All-Star game. Wednesday was the championship game. We lost. We came in second place. Tuesday was the playoff. We won. Wednesday, we lost the championship game, so we came in second. But Thursday was the All-Star game, which I had to coach the All-Star game because I came in second. And my son and, of course, a lot of other kids were on it. And, you know, when you see how excited...
Don't be modest.
When you see how excited the kids are playing baseball, you just can't miss that. And especially when it's your son, that's one of the kids.
Okay, we'll forgive you this time.
They won the All-Star game, too, by the way.
Yes, we did.
That's good.
Yes, we did. In fact, the cards were stacked against us, but we still won. The two strongest teams, there were four teams against four, and the other group had the two strongest teams, but we prevailed because of our defense. So don't ever believe that defense doesn't make the game of baseball. Anyway, all right. How long have you been listening to the show?
Well, I listen to it on and off ever since March. So I don't know, maybe once or twice a month I listen.
Okay. Well, next week we're going to have a consummate veteran of amateur radio on and a former ARRL president. He'll tell you some of the great things and some of the not-so-great things about the ARRL. And so it should be real interesting. We're going to have Harry Daniels. He's also the 1993 Ham of the Year. So I'm going to find it interesting talking to him and seeing his perspective on no code and some other things.
Well, sounds good.
Okay, Mark, thank you very much for calling in. Have a happy holiday.
You're not going to give me a chance to win 73.
Oh, okay. I'll give you, let's see. I'll give you a chance. Let's see.
Give me the question you gave the last time.
No. See, that's not the way this works. See, that's too easy because then you had a chance to look it up.
Oh, but I wouldn't do that.
Oh, no, of course not. Let's see. Okay, I have a real easy question for you.
Okay.
Now, if you've ever listened to this show, you probably know, and if you've been looking at most anything you would, most any flyer or anything, keeping up with what's going on, you would know. Here it is. What is the first prize giveaway at the Fort Tuttle Ham Fest, July 23rd, 24th, and 25th?
Let's see. An ICOM 3230. Mobile transceiver.
Wrong.
Oh, geez.
That's what's given away for if you win at fair the donation of the tower fund.
Well, see, I was close. I got one right.
That wasn't
I got
even...
the right prize. The wrong event.
Yeah, well, you know, but you were close.
Okay.
Except not really, because it's not even an ICOM item.
Oh, okay.
They're not giving away any icons.
What's the Yaesu then?
Well, now you're getting there. Maybe we can do this the whole time, and I can come up with some trivia questions constantly, and who knows, maybe we can give away 3, 4, 5 subscriptions to 73 Magazine today.
Okay.
You can call back if you want.
I can call back.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Okay. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Joel, welcome to Ham Radio and More, KB7RYU.
Well, hello, Len.
How are you doing?
Oh, pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Ready for our Scottsdale Amateur Radio Club meeting Wednesday night?
Yeah, that sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, it always is.
Yeah.
And you've got some great prizes to hack this month, so I know you'll be voicing your opinion to sell those raffle tickets.
Yeah, that's always a lot of fun. And funny how I have the answer to your first question.
To my first question? Yeah, but you can't win a free subscription for knowing the answer to Chuck's question.
Okay, well, the answer to your first one was the 44165 repeater and the 14676 repeater.
Okay, I got 14676, but I also have 441125. Now, I may be wrong, but this is in an ARA published paper.
Okay.
Now, you know, again, I wouldn't swear to it, but I'm pretty sure I'm right, because it's in a couple places now that I looked at it in another spot. Okay. So you were wrong anyway, but I'll tell you what. You have a subscription to 73 Magazine.
Yes, that's correct.
You won it from me.
Okay. Yes, my brother just came out and said that it's incorrect in the book.
That it's incorrect at 441-125?
Yes.
Wouldn't it be 441-125 plus 5, which would give it the 441-625?
Yes, it's...
So that if you... So you transmit on the 625 because it's plus 5? Or, I mean, oh, no, that wouldn't be right. No, because that would be 446-125. I don't know. I'm looking at two different sheets. I'm looking at their ARA threefold, and I'm looking at another sheet that they give that is a listing of all their repeaters, and both of them say 441-125.
Yeah, maybe it's just with the offset that it's 441-625.
And it's also, no, it's
ask him a fresh question.
No, because it's a 5 megahertz increase.
Okay.
That the offset on 440 is 5 megahertz.
Yeah.
What the no? Oh, come on. This let's see. I don't know. Let me see. Okay, I got this one. Here it is. Oh, and I am right. Lorraine McCarthy is charging $125 at Fort Tut Hill. $125. Okay. This is a toughie. Are you prepared for a toughie, Joel?
Yeah.
Okay. What is the second prize at fair that's going to be given away? At fair. It's a fair raffle ticket, second prize.
I'm not sure.
Oh, well, then you can't win.
You've already bought a ticket, no.
If you'd have bought your ticket, you could have looked it up and seen. Now, it will be on sale, of course, at the Scottsdale Amateur Radio Club meeting this Wednesday night, fair tickets, and delicious steak dinners at Rawhide. And let me tell you, those steaks are delicious. But... The item that is given away is a color television set, that second place prize.
Okay. Well, anyhow, thank you very much.
Okay, Joel. I really do appreciate you calling in, and we'll see you Wednesday.
Okay, yes. Hope to see you there. So, 73's.
73's you.
For those who don't know it, Joel is the prize chairman of the Scottsdale Club now, the raffle chairman every month, and he's also one of our newest, youngest members. So, we put him to work quick when they get in.
Yes, and yes, that's a lot of fun.
Okay. Thanks again. Have a safe holiday.
Okay.
73, Joel.
Bye-bye. Hey, I like you guys. Everybody's keeping these lines hopping. That really goes good. That's what this is all about, really. This
a lot of people with nothing to do on the fourth.
No. Yeah, thanks a lot. No, really. That's what, when I started the show over 2.5 years ago, 2 years and 5 months, I had the hope that someday it could be a central place for people to call in and talk about amateur radio and the rest of the population, non-hams who don't have receivers, who don't have HTs and stuff, that can't normally listen to what goes on in amateur radio, can find out that there are a bunch of nice people that are ham radio operators, all the great things that they do or that we do as ham radio operators, and this could be a clearing place for a forum for it. Okay, let's see. Mark, if we have come up to the news constraint, we'll keep you on if you want. W7LKB, welcome to Ham Radio and More.
I talked to you last week.
Last week?
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah, I was the first caller last week. I first discovered your show last week.
Oh, okay. Did we have, we had the lady on from,
YL deal there.
Right.
I have one question to ask you now. What frequencies are they using for transmitter hunts nowadays?
I would prefer to tell you that 14694 is the meeting frequency before we go to the hunt frequency,
And if you want to hold on during the news, I would, on a one-on-one, give you that information.
Okay, what band do they usually run it in? That's what I'm just curious.
We use 2 meters.
2 meters, okay.
Uh-huh.
Because, see, I'm an old transmitter hunter from way back in the old 6 meter days.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Before 2 meter FM.
Okay.
And you talk about getting out there and doing your thing with a loop antenna for 6 meters, you know.
Well, that would be a lot of fun, and we have talked about having a longer hunt on either 10 meters or, you know, support. And so whether the ham community will embrace it totally or not, I don't know, but they probably will. Don't forget the Dayton Hamvention nets the Dayton Ham Fest group about $1 million.
Yeah, right, because a couple of the guys, when I took my, I went to a Handy Ham radio camp in Malibu in January,
uh-huh,
and took my novice in tech, and the two guys, the one guy who was teaching the general class was one of the chairmen of that Dayton Ham Fest, and then the fellow that taught the class, I was in the tech class, was, you know, he was on the board of the Dayton Ham Fest.
Well, they charge $450 per booth at the Dayton Ham Fest for a commercial vendor, and there are companies like MFJ and Kenwood and stuff. They take 6 to 10 booths at $450 a booth.
Hmm.
So, and that's not counting the 2,500 vendors at $15 or $25, I can't remember, for outside.
Yeah, yeah, tailgater type. Huh?
Right. Plus, they sold out at $30 or was it $25, something like that, for the banquet, 1,500 people.
Mm.
So, I mean, it's a $1 million event. But, you know, again, I'm not necessarily knocking that. I'm just saying that's what this ham show is. It's definitely a for-profit event.
Yeah.
And if it was successful, more power to them. Really, anything that increases the awareness of ham radio is something I'd be in favor in. But I think if I could do this radio show on a national basis, that might do more good than a little show in different parts of the country, because this would be on simultaneously all over the country.
Yeah, I really enjoy your show, and it's very informative, and once I heard about it, I started listening to it, and my wife usually works on Sunday afternoons, and she's a part-timer in retail, so it's a good way of spending the afternoon.
Well, we appreciate it.
Need a dog.
We appreciate it. Did you want to try to get a subscription to 73 Magazine?
Sure, I'm like the rest of them. I don't, well, we'll try.
Okay, are you up on what's going on locally?
Yeah, to a certain degree.
Okay.
But if I remember it.
Okay, this is real easy.
All right.
It's real easy if you're keeping up on stuff.
I suppose.
Okay, here it is. Who is the new section manager for the ARRL in Arizona?
Don't have any idea.
And it was just as Bernie Sasak was the section manager, and now this gentleman is, and he was.
I heard, but I don't recall the name.
He is also the ARCA chairman.
I could answer it for him.
There you go, Bernie.
I just happen to know the guy. A bit of luck. I don't know many answers.
Well, the answer is Cliff Hauser, KD6XU, and Cliff's a real nice guy and the new section manager for Arizona.
I remember hearing it, but I guess it didn't go into the brain and stay in the computer.
Well, Russ, I appreciate you checking in with us today.
Enjoy the show.
And have a very, very happy 4th of July weekend, and hopefully we can get a chance to meet you maybe at fair.
Sure will. I'm kind of thinking about it.
Well, I hope you come. I'll certainly be there from beginning to end.
Okay, so. Fine. Thank you, Lynn, and you too, Barney.
Okay. Thank you, Russ.
All right. Glad to talk to you, Russ.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
You're listening to Ham Radio and More on KFNN. I'm Len Winkler, KB7LPW, and I'm here with Barney Fagan, KB7KOE. Our phone number, 230-2755-230-2755. Okay, Ross, you're not a ham radio operator. Welcome to Ham Radio and More.
Thank you. Been listening quite often over the past couple of years.
Uh-huh.
And
thank you.
First of all, you mentioned the Scottsdale Amateur Radio Club on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Where is that?
That is at the Scottsdale Senior Center.
Okay.
Do you know where that is, or do you need some more information?
That is at 7375 East 2nd Street.
Second.
The best way, it's right across from the Civic Center, and the way that I go there is I take Scottsdale Road to where Bowman's Delicatessen is, which is south of Indian School, about three or four blocks. And Bowman's Delicatessen is on the southeast corner, and I go east right there, that street, and basically Scottsdale Senior Center ends, is right there at when the street ends.
You think two blocks on the right.
Two blocks on the right. You turn right, right there, and turn, make another right into the parking lot.
Yeah, enter it from the south side of the building.
South side.
Actually, okay. The east side of the building. I guess you can get in. The south, you can't get into the parking lot.
No, you enter the parking lot from the east, but
right.
Go into the building from the south.
Right.
Okay.
And we're there at 7 o'clock, and it's a good turnout normally, and anywhere from 70 to 100 people, 80 people.
Okay. The next one, I'm going to be gone for a month. I just got the information from you on this fair at Rawhide on Sunday the 19th. What time would that start?
10 o'clock in the morning and end at 5.
Okay.
And then after 5 o'clock, we're going to have dinner at 6 o'clock.
Okay.
I mean, if you know, obviously, if you want to stay for it, I mean, it's going to be great. Rawhide food is always great, and I don't know if you ever had their steaks there, but they're fantastic. And we'll have music, we'll have a band, we'll have a little talk and conversation, and a hayride, and a good steak or chicken dinner. Chicken's a little cheaper than the steak.
Well, we're getting a good buy anyway, though.
Yes, we are. And a kids meal, if you want to, you know, for children. And it's all available there. And all the proceeds over the amount that we have to pay Rawhide for the food goes back to all the clubs. And all the clubs in the valley are participating.
Okay, the next question, I've got two more questions. One is, I don't know enough to answer a question and couldn't get it anyway. How do I get a subscription to 73 Magazine so I can keep up on this?
Okay.
How much is it?
Well, 73 Magazine is a national publication, not something that I give. They allow me to give away subscriptions to their magazine.
Okay.
You're asking me a question that I'm not going to have an answer to in front of me because I don't have their address in front of me.
Okay. Where could I contact during the week on that?
Well, if you want to leave your number with Ted, after, you know, I'll put you on hold, I can certainly call you and get you that information Tuesday.
Well, I was thinking maybe it was a local magazine, but I'm still interested enough to try to get into the amateur radio thing. What is the closest amateur group to me in Tempe here, near Mill Avenue and Southern?
Okay, honestly, the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club would be, because they meet in Tempe at the Tempe Police Department.
Okay.
On 5th Street, just south of Mill Avenue.
Got it.
Okay, and they meet the second Thursday of every month, which would be this coming Thursday.
Okay.
And, again, that's at 7 p.m. If you want to call somebody, let's see, John, N7RAT, is the new president.
Okay.
And his phone number is 964.
Okay.
3509-964-3509.
Okay.
Now, that's a fairly new club. It's about a year and a half to 2 years old.
Okay.
It's a good club for new hams because a lot of people there are very new hams. And so that's very good if you're just becoming a ham radio operator. They give tests. They have classes. They do everything. They have a field day event. So they have about 115, 120 members.
Good. Sounds good. Thank you very much for the information. Enjoy your show.
Thank you very much, Ross. Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. We're here at Ham Radio and More on KFNN, and I need to take a little break here and tell you about Wallpaper World. Well, you know, someone's got to help pay the bills here. And Wallpaper World sells wallpaper and custom window treatments at the lowest prices around in Phoenix, Arizona. There's nobody that beats their deals. Others say that they're the cheapest and all this other stuff. Don't believe it. Not if you compare quality. And really, I know this is a cliche you've probably heard 1,000 times, but it's true. All blinds are not created equal. All shutters are not created equal. There's a big difference. There's some companies out there selling mini blinds. If you look at them wrong, they bend. I mean, they're just that flimsy. Wallpaper World doesn't do that. They sell quality, I mean real quality mini blinds. In fact, they're one of the largest retailers around of Levalure. I mean, you can't do better than Levalure. Or Bailey. Or Hunter Douglas. Or Chic. Or Graber. They carry them all. And all at the lowest prices. In fact, they have a full 80% off on Levalure mini blinds. Custom made to your specifications. Whatever size you want. Over 40 colors available. Good Levalure quality. Lifetime warranty. Buy four or more and you get free measuring and installation. And if you mention Ham Radio and More, you save 10%. I mean, it's so cheap, they're almost buying it from you. But really, it is cheap. So, if you want mini blinds, verticals, pleated shades, custom wood shutters, or wallpaper, the place to go is Wallpaper World. And they have a store near you, one in Mesa, one in Chandler, one in Scottsdale, one in Paradise Valley area, one in Central Phoenix, and one in Northwest Phoenix. Wallpaper World, 272-4788, 272-4788. Wallpaper World really does make selecting wallpaper and custom window treatments an enjoyable experience. Okay, I want to touch on this before we get any further here, and that's Field Day, which was really the pretense that I had Barney come here on in the first place, because he was there at the Scottsdale Amateur Radio Club's Field Day for all 3 days this last weekend. I was only able to be there on Saturday, and I didn't stay a whole long time, about 6 hours, 8 hours, and I enjoyed myself while I was there. The food was good. Barney, can you tell us just a 4 to 5 minute thumbnail sketch of what happened at Field Day?
Well, it was a great event. We had over 100 people up there. Most were members of Scottsdale Amateur Radio Club or Central Arizona DX, or they were members of both. Some were not. Others were guests, and we were very glad to have them. We had about 60-odd people up there on Friday, and the reason I know counts pretty good is because I ran the kitchen. We had about a little over 60 for dinner on Saturday night.
Barney's Grill.
That's right. We had the roadkill grill. You kill them, we grill them.
Liked that armadillo. That was
Well,
nice.
The one that was really good was the crushed tortoise in the half shell.
Yeah, that was good. That was good.
And we had some bumpered rabbit.
With the mustard sauce. Yeah, that was
And
good.
The finger food we had, for those who didn't like beef, we had minnow bucket peelers. They were really good. But anyway, it was a great time up there. I think it's a 4A category. I was so busy with the food, I really didn't get too much into the electronic end of it. But I do know that the stations were all up. We had a special array on one tower that was really great. The doc from...
Warren.
Dr. Warren from Central Arizona DX built that one, and I guess it was really great. And then my friend Jack...
Sheldon?
Sheldon, yes, senior, built the... put together the novice station antenna, and that was a couple of opposed verticals of some sort. And I understand he had RG59 cable, and everybody said RG59 cable, but I'll tell you, it really worked. They got over 250 contacts, which is more than they got in more than 2 years before, so it was really great. In fact, our goal was to, I think, beat 4,400 contacts, which is what the club back east got last year that beat us. And we exceeded 4,500 contacts, had very little downtime. One of our minor problems that occurred, and this was kind of the heavy end of what happened, we had one generator that we had trouble with, and when we got it back down to the place we rented it from, we found out it was low on oil, and they won't run when they're low on oil. They have an automatic cutoff. Well, my generator has a little beeper and a light that flashes when it gets low on oil. But this, I guess, just don't run when it's low on oil. So, boy, it sure got cranked a lot. But we didn't have that many problems. Everything really went well, and we had a great group of people, a lot of children, a lot of wives. And the thing that makes the Scottsdale Central Arizona DX Association Field Day great, it's a family event. We had dogs, children, young lovers. it was just just a wonderful, wonderful time. A lot of the ladies and Big Jim helped me in the kitchen, and Howard Kemper, W7FBZ, and his grandson, Michael, they all helped. And, boy, it sure was just a great fun event. And we didn't have many bugs this year. I had young Michael spray the whole kitchen area before we moved into it, trees and everything, to make sure we got no see-ems. I didn't use any preventative, and I had no bug bites. So
there were not that many. I mean, I wasn't there for a whole long time, but while I was there, me and my daughter, we didn't have any problems, really. A few bugs, but not many. Not as many as normal.
Well, the biggest problem we had up there is it was a little warm, and we normally go through about 15 cases of soft drinks, and we went through over 30, and that's not bad, but you got to haul ice up the hill, so we kept a lot of trips back down to Payson for ice and soft drinks, but I think most people who went up there probably put on a couple of pounds. I hope I didn't. But it was a great time.
Well, I certainly enjoyed the food. I had the hamburgers and the hot dogs, and it was good dessert. It was very nice. And hopefully we win. That would be great.
Well, we won't know till November. But I'll tell you what, we win whether we win or not is my feeling on this, because we did better than it's ever been done before by anybody in this state. We did better than we've done at Scottsdale before, and we've always, for a long, long time, been number one west of the Mississippi and number two in the country. And being number two in the country, it's always kind of burned us a little because we wanted to be number one.
Listen, the Phoenix Suns were number two, right?
Yeah.
Okay, the Bulls won. They were number one. They had 150,000 people show up for their big gala winning event.
Yeah.
We had 300,000 people who showed up. We came in second. So coming in second isn't bad.
Well, as Barkley said, we got class here.
That's no question.
And that's like they're talking about the, I think, riots up in Cleveland or something.
We have
too much class for that.
Speaking of class, Nick Seuss, W7ZMD, is ready with Nick's Corner, some information, I think, about batteries or something. So, Nick, on this beautiful July 4th. Take it away.
Thank you, Len. This is Nick Seuss from Nick's Corner. This week's segment is going to be a general discussion about microphones. Yeah, happy July 4th, everybody. This discussion could go on for several hours. I'm going to talk about microphones. Since I only have a few minutes, I will try to explain some of the highlights without getting too technical. There are many different types of microphones and many different manufacturers. There are mics designed for reproduction of the full range of sounds generated by all the various musical instruments used for concerts, etc., in the range of 10 to 30,000 hertz or cycles per second. Others are specifically designed for voice communications, such as a police dispatcher might use. In this case, it's specifically desirable to limit the range to only voice frequencies so extraneous sounds don't confuse important voice information. Most voice frequencies are in the range of 300 to 3,000 cycles, or hertz. This is the same characteristic desired by most amateur radio operators. If you have a handheld, you probably never thought about the microphone element that's in the unit, or the fact that the design of the unit had to consider the acoustic chamber where the microphone element is positioned. I heard someone on 2 meters a few weeks ago saying, "This repeater has higher fidelity than the last repeater we were on." Apparently, two guys with not a lot to do and a lot of time on their hands were checking out the various repeaters. I also heard a person on 2 meters ask someone selling a microphone whether it was a power mic with an amplifier built in. These comments indicate that a lot of misinformation abounds about microphones. The phrase power mic is a carryover from the CB days when people did whatever they thought might help their signal. And many of the things that they were trying were not really helpful to their improving effective communications. In fact, many of the accessories sold actually decreased their equipment's effectiveness and were disruptive to other people trying to use adjacent channels. On 2 meters and the other VHF bands, most operators do not give much consideration to the type of microphone they use. On the HF bands, many operators take their choice of microphones very seriously. The major equipment manufacturers all offer microphones that plug into their radios, which match the radio in color and style. many of the microphones have additional features. For VHF use, virtually all the newer radios include a microphone which has a touch tone pad for accessing auto patches and digital control of other equipment. For HF use, most offer a microphone which provides frequency control, up-down buttons, and or memory select buttons. Most provide adequate performance. One note, be careful if you're considering changing microphones on your VHF-UHF radio. You better thoroughly understand all the pins associated with the microphone connector. It is possible to do damage to the radio if you don't know exactly what you're doing, and the manufacturer is not responsible for this type of equipment damage. Most HF radios have thorough documentation of the microphone connector. Again, the same warning. But at least in this case, you're usually provided with enough information so if you can understand it, it's provided and you can safely install a different microphone with a fairly high level of confidence. It's very important to mention that microphones come in two different styles these days, high impedance and low impedance. Today, virtually all amateur radio equipment uses low impedance. Equipment that's 20 years older and older are probably using high impedance microphones. Just for reference, low impedance is generally considered 500 to 600 ohms. High impedance is considered something in excess of 1,000 ohms and can be as high as 10,000, 100,000 ohms. Admittedly, the segment has only touched on the fact that there are different microphones for different applications. In a subsequent session, I will review some aftermarket microphones designed specifically for use in amateur communications. That wraps up this week's segment. Again, I would like to ask that if there's any product you would like to hear about in this segment, let Lino me know. Thank you. This is Nick Sue's Nick's Product Review Corner, presented by Nick Sue's W7ZMD. Phone number 992-4133. Amateur radio equipment repair is my business, and it's located near 40th Street and Bell Road. Again, the phone number... July 4th, back to you, Len.
Hello, we're back on KFNN here. And anyway, thank you there, Nick. I want to talk about Ken Nichols of Linda Brack Auto Mall. Ken, WA7HXZ. I had a call. This is funny. I had a call from a friend of mine. I'm not going to mention his name, but I had a call from a friend of mine saying, Can you give me Ken's phone number? I need his phone number. I need to buy a vehicle. I said, okay, what vehicle is it that you're looking for? Are you ready for this? He wants to buy a Humvee. I mean, you know, I don't know what they would sell for, probably a couple hundred thousand or more. I don't know. I have no idea. But anyway... That one was a wild one, and I think he called Ken. I'm not sure what came of that. That's not an easy one to find. But for those of us normal people who are looking for Dodges, Volkswagens, BMWs, Oldsmobiles, Cadillacs, Chevys, Fords, whatever, Plymouth, you name it, Infiniti, Lexus, Rolls-Royce, maybe, I don't know, Ken Nichols, WA7HXZ, is the fleet manager for Linda Brock, and he is the gentleman to call when you're looking for a vehicle. I'm in the market, and within the next 2 weeks, I'll have my new vehicle, and I'll tell you exactly how this transpires afterwards, because I don't want to talk about it yet. But when I went and bought our Chevy truck, that worked really well. I got a price on a Chevy truck. I told Ken the best deal I was able to get. He said, give me an hour. He called me back, gave me the price, was much better than the best deal I could get. I went in and just bought it. And he had it all set up and everything. And I went to a Chevy dealer that he put together for me. And it was a pleasure, an absolute pleasure. So if you're buying a new car, a new truck, or a new van, you got to call Ken at 228-2336. If you don't do it, you're making a mistake and you're just foolish. So, I mean, it doesn't hurt anything to call them. There's no hassles. There's no pressure. There's no hard sell tactics. He's a nice guy, ham radio operator, so he's got to be nice, right? And really good old-fashioned service. And he, do you know that in last month he sold over 300 cars? Just to give you an idea of the volume that he sells, there are dealerships who sell half of that. Dealerships that sell half of that volume. That's why he's there 6 or 7 days a week, and it seems like 24 hours a day. Ken Nichols, WA7HXZ, really the place to go, the guy to go to when you need your new car or truck or van. 228-2336. 228-2336. Ken Nichols, fleet prices, really direct to you. Okay, during this during that timeout with Nick and doing Nick's Corner, who's good luck. Hope you're recovering from your leg wound, Nick. Anyway, while that happened, I got a phone call and someone asked me about the event that's taking place at Fair. I'll tell you, this is going to be a big get together. It's going to be a big get together. Listen to the group. Or the group, the people who are involved in FAIR. ARCA, that's the parent organization of all the clubs here in Arizona. The Arizona Repeater Association, which of course we talked about earlier. The Arizona Amateurs on TV. Now that's an unusual, real techie. And I'll tell you, I'm in that. I enjoy that. And there's a big, nice group of people there. And I got to call Robin back, and I haven't had a chance. I've been so busy, she's called me. Anyway, Arizona Network Intertie Group with Dan Meredith. The Central Arizona DX Association, of course, we've talked about that. The Phoenix Packet Users Group, which we're going to try to get in a few minutes here. The Carl Hayden Amateur Radio Club. The Scottsdale Amateur Radio Club, I think we've talked about them. The Superstition Amateur Radio Club, Chuck called earlier, and we talked about that. TriArc, the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club, that's where I told Ross to call. The West Valley Amateur Radio Club. The Salvation Army Team Emergency Radio Network. And the American Red Cross Disaster Services. This FAIR, F-A-R-E. F-A-R-E, FAIR, which stands for Family Amateur Radio Event. I think that's a great acronym. The FAIR, come to the FAIR. The Family Amateur Radio Event is more than a ham fest. It's an event. It's a symposium because we're going to have their packet. We're going to have their amateur television. We're going to have their an all-day swap meet. Event stations. We're going to have rigs operating all day long from there. We're going to have Robert Sutton, the chief of Army Mars for the whole country. He's going to be there with his family, and a Mars setup is going to be there, and they're going to send traffic, if you want, to any military base, anywhere, personnel, anywhere in the world. I'm going to have that operational. AMSAT's going to be there. Larry Brown or somebody from AMSAT's going to be there and have a station set up and operating. The Red Cross is going to be there. The Salvation Army is going to have a thing there. The Arizona Racy's communication van is going to be there. How many people have ever seen that Racy's van?
That's a phantom.
I don't even know if it really exists.
We've heard it on the air. We've never seen it.
Right, and Dick Jackson, K7VCI, promised it's going to be there. I've never seen it. And, I mean, it's like never. It's the stealth van. So it's going to be there. There's going to be a code a session to teach you how to use a straight key by Nick Seuss, W7ZMD. He's going to be teaching you how to use a straight key. There's going to be a speed contest, copying code. There's going to be seminars for children and spouses. There's going to be face painting for children. There's going to be clowns. There's going to be food, hay rides. There's going to be a unique QSL exhibition of QSL cards. What? Say.
Ronald McDonald's
going to
be there.
Ronald McDonald is scheduled to be there to give a show. There's going to be so much a public service booth showing you what the ham radio operators do with public service. There's going to be the solar car or the electric car from Carl Hayden High School is going to be there. Really, there's almost so many things, I don't even remember them all, that are going to be there. Plus an all-day swap meet. Plus dinner is available afterwards. Oh, food is going to be available all day there. And they've got all kinds of goodies planned for all the people there. But the key here, it's a family event. So we want you to bring your kids. We don't want you to come and look at the swap meet and leave. I mean, if that's what you want to do, obviously, you can certainly do that. But that's really not what we want. We want you to make a day of it. Enjoy yourself at Rawhide facilities where we're going to be. At about 4 or 5, the Rawhide Town opens. You can go to town. And then at 6, we're having dinner, which will encompass a hayride to a special area, which we're going to be a campsite. And we're going to have steak dinner or a chicken dinner or children's dinners for anybody who wants. Tickets are available from all the clubs that I mentioned. So if you're going to the West Valley Club tomorrow, you see Merle Butterman. And you get your tickets from Merle. If you're going to Superstition Club, get your tickets from Chuck. If you're going to the Triarch meetings, get your tickets from Dave Kelly and others. So every club has, and on Wednesday, Carl and Brenda will have their tickets to sell at the Scottsdale Amateur Radio Club. Admission, $1. Tailgating, $5. Parking, $2. And I don't have in front of me the food prices, but that's also available and for dinner. And hopefully, we'll get about 50 people or more to stay for dinner, or 100 people. That would be great. But at least 50 people would be super to have. I know that I'll be there.
Tex is going to be there.
Tex is going to be there. ULU, N7ULU, he'll be there. Having a steak dinner, and I'm looking forward to it. So that's at Rawhide, Sunday, September the 19th. Now, there may not be a Ham Radio and More show that day unless we can do it from Rawhide, which we haven't really solidified yet, so there may just be something else happening that day at this time. But we really would want you down to Rawhide. And if you don't know where Rawhide's located, it's just south of Pinnacle Peak Road on Scottsdale Road.
Come out to the big covered wagon.
You can't miss it. You can't miss it. There'll be a special entrance for us only. A special entrance. Yes.
Yeah, one item you didn't bring up that you mentioned it kind of quickly, but something that's really important is for non-ham children and wives of hams who have little patience to teach them. We'll have an opportunity to learn emergency procedures, because anyone, even without a license in an emergency, may transmit on a ham or commercial radio. So we want to teach wives and children how to use their father's or husband's ham radios in an emergency if that guy's in trouble or has a problem, and how to bail out of it. So we want to teach that, and that'll be worth coming to if you don't learn anything else.
Yeah, because a lot of people, that's exactly right. That's real important. I mean, some people, you'll have an emergency and they'll have to use their handy talkie or something, and you'll have a person trying to talk to them, and no one can understand the thing they said because they're talking into the microphone like I just did, and nobody will be able to understand what they're saying. So we're going to teach you how to use it properly. And, again, that's just as Barney said, wives and spouses. That's Sunday, September 19th. That's also in conjunction with the ARRL's Ham Awareness Day. We really want to encourage non-hams to attend. I mean, aside from, of course, the ham community, we'd like non-hams to attend, as many as possible. Okay. Let's talk about, before we get to Tuthill, which we don't have a whole lot of time, but before we get to Tuthill, let's talk about the Packet Users Group meeting, which takes place
17th.
A week from the 17th.
The 17th of this month at the Country
Harvest.
Country Harvest Buffet, 7th Street and Bethany Home, northwest corner behind the gas station. It's an all-you-can-eat buffet, and it's not just breakfast food. It's really great. Guys like me shouldn't go there, but they give us a room at no charge.
I noticed you visited the food a time or two.
Yeah, well, I'm still 70 pounds down from last September. So.
And you look great there.
But anyway, it'll be a good meeting. Everyone is welcome. And now this one, we've talked about money and all that sort of thing. Packet Users Group has no officers, no constitution, no bylaws, no fees, and no dues. And the only rule is that you have to separate checks, please, because it's a breakfast meeting. Now, what we like to do there is get people who are interested in Packet, who may not have any more than a curiosity about it, for people who are using it, and for those deeply involved in it. We want everyone to come out. For those who would like to get involved, we will help you. We have a 20-chapter booklet that you can get on disc, or if you don't have any way to print the disc, we can get you a printed copy that'll tell you all there is to know about Packet, and we'll really help you out. And we have interesting speakers from time to time, so come on out, and you're all welcome, 8 o'clock in the morning, Saturday morning, the 17th of July, at 7th Street and Bethany Home at the Country Harvest. Hope to see you there.
And I'm there usually at almost every Packet. I'll be at that one, and I was there last month, and the food is good. And but the food isn't why we go. We go there because of the camaraderie. No, for the camaraderie, because everybody is nice, and they're all talking about Packet. And we learn a lot about Packet there. So it's good. You know, and that's one thing I want to say. You know, I really like to meet all the people that are out there. So come on down. And anybody, you know, it's like sometimes people are tentative to meet new people and stuff. If I'm anywhere, come up to say hello. I really want to meet everybody. So not that it, you know, it's not a big thing for you, but it is for me to meet everybody. So I enjoy it. Okay. Want to talk about just one date I want to give to you before we get to Tudhill, and that is December the 4th. December the 4th. That's going to be the date for the Superstition Club Hamfest, and that takes place at Mesa Community College. And again, that's December the 4th, and they are giving away some good prizes this year. An Elinco DR570T dual band mobile is first prize. A Cantronics All Mode TNC is second prize. A Elinco DJF1T VHF Mini HT third prize. And a power supply fourth prize. Seems like those power supplies are going pretty good. And again, that's going to be the Hamfest. $1 ticket, six for $5 if you want to win this at Superstition Club Hamfest, Mesa Community College, Saturday, December the 4th. Now, and we forgot to mention, God, at Fair, we forgot to mention there's a raffle.
Oh, golly buck.
Yeah, golly buck deal. the raffle that we're having at Fair, $1 a ticket, six for $5. Top prize, get this, guys, a Kenwood TS50S. Now, don't tell me there's any slouching going on at Fair. A Kenwood TS50S 10 through 160 HF rig, that little guy that does it all.
The little mobile.
The little mobile that does it all. So let me tell you, that's top prize. Second is a color TV set, because non-hams, they can use that. And third prize is a power supply. So make sure you get your tickets for that, as well as your admission tickets. And the admission tickets are good for hourly drawings.
We're going to have
a lot
of drawings all day long for
lots
of
stuff. There might even be a gift certificate to Wallpaper World.
Good Lord.
Imagine if I could get Ken Nichols to donate a car. okay. Anyway, speaking of that, Alamo Ammo. Alamo Gun and Ammo at 12019 North 19th Avenue in Phoenix, Arizona. Ken and John there are always there to help. And do you ever do reloads?
Yeah, in fact, I've been up to Alamo. That's a great place.
I'm a shotgun
reloader, but I buy their pistol and rifle ammo.
Okay, because they have a full line of Scott powders for those people out there who are reloading Fanatics and, you know, don't want to be just like me to just buy the regular Remington or whatever. But they also sell reloads, and they sell new guns, used guns. They have a full-time, right there, I mean, on the premises all the time, a gunsmith. Now, that's very important, and he does great work. He does a lot of stuff. He'll do trigger jobs, whatever you need done, he'll do it. With a full-time gunsmith there. They sell 38 special reloads, if you mention Ham Radio and More, for $6.50 a bag. That's not too bad. They have ammo boxes for $1. For $1. That's pretty cheap because from what I've seen, and I went to some of their big deal competitors, and they're charging $3.50 for the same one that they want $1 for at Alamo Ammo. They have rifles, pistols, you name it, they have it. Remember the Alamo. That's how you can remember Alamo Gun and Ammo. And what else can I tell you about them other than they can get you most any type of weapon that you want. Give them a chance. Let them quote you a price. You know, you might be very pleasantly surprised. I know on one of the magazines that I needed to buy a clip for one of the guns, their price was one-third what it was at some other place. So, and they have holsters in stock and all kinds of stuff. That's Alamo Gun and Ammo Company, just south of Cactus on the west side, on the east side of the street. Just south of Cactus on the east side of the street. 861-9007. 861-9007. Alamo Gun and Ammo. Len Winkler here, KB7KLPW, along with Barney, KB7KL. Well, yours is such a well-respected call sign. I was trying to steal it from you. In our last 5 minutes, let's talk about the Ham Fest that takes place in 3 weeks, and that is the Fort Tuttle Ham Fest, July 23rd, 24th, and 25th. They are no slouches when it comes to giving away prizes either. Their first prize is a Yaesu FT-890. That's buku dollars. Second prize, a Kenwood TM-741. Third prize, an Olenko AEA packet station. Fourth prize, a Diamond X510N dual band antenna. And they're giving an early bird Astron 35 amp power supply away. Their tickets are $2 each. Three for $5, six for $10. So they have VE exams on Saturday. So if you want to take your test, go up to Tuthill. Anybody needs directions, I can certainly mention this again, and I can tell you how to get there, but it's so easy. It's right off of I-17 at the mile marker 337 on Flagstaff Airport exit. And if you need Lorraine McCarthy, N6CIO, she teaches you no-code technician, how you can get your license. It's $125. $125. It's for Friday night, 7 to 10 p.m., Saturday, 9 to 5, and Sunday, 9 to 6. You give her a call at 714-979-2633. 714-979-2633. And that's a great Ham Fest, probably the largest in the state, wouldn't you say?
Well, the thing that's nice about it, you know, it's awful hot down here now, and it's even hotter because the humidity will be coming in with the monsoons, and you can go up to Flagstaff, and sometime we have occasional very pleasant tropical showers up there that don't amount to much. But really, they're cooling and great, and it's nice up in the pine trees. A lot of people camp out, and we have a good vendor usually for the food up there, and it's just a great time. And you get to see people there that you don't see but once a year because they come from several states to get there. We have them from California, Nevada, New Mexico, Utah, Colorado. They come from everywhere to go up there, and it's just a great time. Colorado Radio even is always there.
And swap space is only $10.
Yep.
If you want a swap space.
Well, that's a camping swap, I think, isn't it?
Camping space overnight is $5 a night.
Yeah, but I say you can camp and swap, I think, is for the 10.
Oh, okay. Well, it says, yeah, probably, but
yeah,
it says swap space.
I always have
space.
One there next to the building on the right. My old camper didn't have a facility in it, so I was parked near the restroom.
Well, I certainly hope a lot of people attend this Ham Fest. We got, you know, this area, Phoenix, has so much going for it with amateur radio. I mean, if you think about it, now with the Ham Fest at Tuthill, after Tuthill, there's Fair at Rawhide. After Fair, there's the Superstition Club one at Mesa Community College. Then in March, The spring, excuse me?
It's the ARCA Spring Ham Fest.
Right, the ARCA Spring Ham Fest in March that'll take place probably at the Scottsdale Community College, which I believe the ARA is handling this year.
I've heard that, yeah.
I've heard that rumor. And after that comes the Arizona Amateur Radio Club has theirs. So there are so many things going on, and not to mention PUG and all the Package Users Group, not to mention all the other club events, the clubs that are involved. I mean, there's something for everyone in amateur radio. So what can I tell you? And don't forget about the Tower Fund, guys. You need to donate to the Tower Fund. Give Barney 861-2817 a call, 861-2817 if you need more information, but they really need your help. They've got over the $8,000 limit, $8,000 number, but they need to hit $20,000 to get that 100-foot antenna up there. And if you have a few pennies to spare, send it to the Friends of Mount Ord, and if you call Barney, I'll give you the address again. Any last minute?
I'd just like to request that all those who are hams and who have 2-meter or 440 equipment and are not members of ARA, please join and support it, because it's the only way you can communicate. We're not in conflict with any other organization or club. We only facilitate their ability to communicate. So for goodness sake, if you can't join anything else, join ARA and sort of, it's kind of like belonging to APS if you use electricity, only we're nicer.
Okay, thank you, Barney, KB7KOE, for being my guest today. Next week, Harry Daniels, former president of ARRL, so that should be real interesting. Thanks for the callers that participated. We appreciate it. And until next week, this is Len Winkler, KB7LPW, saying 73's Arizona.